Jamaica Part 5. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 19, the Bible says, friends, do not avenge yourselves. Instead, leave room for God's wrath, because it is written, vengeance belongs to me, I will repay. And I thought I would use this passage to get to the lesson this morning from Exodus 14, 13 through 14. In the immediate context of Romans 12, it involves or suggests the idea of retribution, payback. Whenever someone does you harm, Paul suggests we should not try to get even, but we should leave room for God's wrath. And lo and behold, right? Aren't there times in our lives, your life and mine, when we need to let God settle the score? Could it be, beloved, that we can leave, if we can leave room for God's wrath, can we not also leave room for his other attributes? When we are faced with challenging and uncertain times as we are today, can we not leave room for God's power, for his love, for his justice, for his goodness? Can we not leave room for the grace of God? Can we not leave room for God's intervention? Can we not leave room for God? The truth is, you and I, we cannot solve every problem on our own. We cannot heal every hurt. We cannot avoid every fear. We cannot overcome every disappointment in our own strength, but we can leave room for God to work. You and I cannot do the impossible, but God is able to do abundantly above all that you and I can ask or think. God delights in doing the impossible. After all, there is nothing, there is no thing too hard for our God. Moses told Israel, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians that you see today, you will never see them again. Did you notice? God promised to take care of the problem all at one time. And he promises to fight for his children. Beloved, this is exactly what the biblical phrase, wait on the Lord, is all about. It's about committing our Red Sea situations to God in crying time prayer, trusting Him. Remember, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. With all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge God, and He, God Himself, will make a way. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Commit it to God in prayer. Trust Him and wait. Leave room for God to work. I gotta confess, in my own personal life, and possibly even in yours, you will confess too, that doing this kind of thing runs counter against, in opposition to, our take charge assertive selves. Many a migraine and many an upset stomach would be cured by a few tablespoons full of rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Psalms 37, verse 7 and 8. Could it be, beloved, that in our Red Sea situations, in our quadruple crisis, that we first need to entrust it to God and leave it in His hands for a minute at least? Did not the psalmist say, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Anywhere the Lord takes us, it's all right. It's all right. Somebody says, I'd rather be in the middle of a storm with the Lord on board my boat than to be on the beach underneath a coconut tree where He is not present at all. He prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. In the presence of our enemies, anoints our head with oil, and our cup runs over. God alone can do the impossible. God alone can part the waters. That's the wait on the Lord. The next part has to do with don't be afraid. I have not counted personally how many times fear not, don't be afraid, and phrases such like appear in the Bible. But I'm told that there are 365 of them, as if to suggest we have, God provides a fear not for every day of every year of our lives. And I'm thinking, think with me now, please. anything mentioned so frequently in the Word of God must either be a common human condition or a great priority with God. One thing we can be sure of is that God wants his children's emotions under control. That's a good place for an amen. And that's hard for us, right? Isn't that hard for you? To keep your feelings under control? Don't they sometimes run away and you find yourself playing catch up? Our feelings go up and down, right? In and out, right? Sometimes with a roller coaster velocity. 1 minute, we upset. The next minute, we in love. 1 minute, we unhappy. The next minute, we're glad. 1 minute, we depressed. The other minute, we're scared. We feel pain. We feel shame. We feel guilt. We feel joy. Sometimes we are wrestling with anxiety. We've got some strong feelings. Don't we, church? Say amen when you can. And often, in more cases than many, they are driven by gripping circumstances. And yet, they all get worse by giving our emotions free rein, not putting them in check, so to speak. I wonder, can we talk for a minute? Can we talk? Can we talk? It has been said that maturity can be measured as the ability to keep one's passions under control. So they tell me. I got to thinking about considering a two-year-old baby, two-year-old child. When a two-year-old child is happy, they're happy all over. Aren't they? I can see my grandson racing through the house, right? Laughing, playing, a big cheese on his face. But when he's angry, oh, he's on the floor, crying, stomping, screaming. We expect that from a two-year-old, but not from an adult. We expect a maturity from an adult that says, don't trust your emotions and never be controlled by them. Sometimes we have to choose an attitude that is contrary to the way we feel. Amen, anyhow. That's the point of Exodus 14. The children of Israel had every reason to be utterly terrified. They were facing slaughter. Slaughter of their families. Slaughter of their aged parents and their younger children. There was no human escape. And although these were good reasons to be afraid, there were even better reasons to be still. Praise God. Let me preach. They had an ally. Let me share with you a perspective on who or what an ally is. Is one who is willing to act with and for others in pursuit of ending oppression and creating equality with a personal commitment. Amen. Israel had an ally with them and for them who had sent lightning and locusts and a handful of other, several other plagues. This was their ally. Their ally had led them by a pillar of cloud and fire. This ally was saying to Israel in Exodus 14, in our text, get a grip on yourself. Reel in, reel back your runaway emotions. Bring yourself under control. Work your way from fear to faith. Trust me. I got this. Can you hear God saying, I got you? Can you hear God saying to you in our present distress, I got you. I got you, Adrian. I got you, Monica. I got you, Titan. New Maywood Church of Christ, I got this. I'm going to fight for you. Does it really matter, church, what the circumstances may be when we are God's chosen, the Lord have mercy, when we are God's chosen generation? Should we ever be overly agitated about any circumstance? Should we ever get besides ourselves, so to speak? Should we ever be at wit's end? Should we ever be in a condition where we feel like we have lost? Our dear, say beloved, the answer is an emphatic no. And I'll tell you why. Because it implies a lack of confidence in God. In our challenges, in our crises, whenever you and I are feeling trapped, just trust. I hope you got that. Whenever you and I feel trapped, just trust. Just trust God with the impossible. And leave room for God to work. He promises to fight for us. I need a little help as we search this out in scripture. Let's hustle to Deuteronomy 1:29. What does the Bible say?
Then I say unto you. Dread not.
Dread not.
Neither be afraid of them.
Neither be afraid of them.
The Lord your God, which goeth before you.
Uh-huh.
He shall fight for you.
He will fight for you. Watch this now. What did you didn't see this, right? The Lord is not just going to fight. He's out front. Our God is out front. You and I may feel trapped. But God ain't trapped. And we don't have to fight. Deuteronomy 3:22. Help a brother out, Woody. Deuteronomy 3:22. What does the Bible say?
It says, ye shall not fear them.
You shall not fear them.
For the Lord your God shall fight for you.
For the Lord your God, for the Lord our God will fight for us. Are y'all hearing this? Let's look at Deuteronomy 31:6. We just searching scripture, that's all. We just searching scripture. Deuteronomy 31:6 says what?
Be strong and of good courage.
Be strong and of good courage.
Fear not.
You can do that when you know, when you trust that God will fight for you.
Fear not. Nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God.
For the Lord your God.
It is that doeth good with thee.
Read.
He will not fail thee nor forsake thee.
God ain't going nowhere. We are not on our own, and we never will be. God could take us into coronavirus for the next 20 years. But he promises to be with us. I'd rather have God in the valley than no God on the mountaintop. You too, right? Amen, anyhow. Go to 1 Samuel 17, verse number 47. 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is a David and Goliath scenario. Read, Woody. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us. I know we got some challenges, all kinds of challenges. People are doing wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. Mistreating human beings who are created by God. All I know is the sooner they repent, the better. Because vengeance belongs to God. Trust God. Vengeance is his, not ours. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 31.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us.
I like to use the word since right there. Since God be for us,
who can be against us?
Who can? Is God for you?
Amen.
Is God for you, church? Is God for us? Well, since God is for us, it don't matter who's against us. Drop down to verse 37. In all these things, we're super conquerors. Are you a super conqueror? I don't have time to preach that text, but he says, we are more than conquerors through him, through Christ. We are, not were, not will be. We are present tense. Talk about identity. Here's your identity. You are more than a conqueror.
That's right.
That's who you are. Who are you? You are more than a conqueror. Run over to 2 Chronicles, Woody, please. Second Chronicles, chapter 20.
Hearken ye.
Yeah. Listen up, y'all.
All Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem.
Yeah, who else?
And thy kingdom, Jehoshaphat.
King Jehoshaphat.
Thus saith the Lord unto you.
Listen. You see why he said, hearken ye, listen carefully. Because when the Lord speaks, that's the time you ought to pay attention. Hey, you know, pay attention. Listen up. What does the Lord say, Woody?
Be not afraid nor dismayed by reasons of this great multitude.
Uh-huh. What else?
For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen. The battle, go to verse 17, is not ours. I don't know how many times a situation comes down the pipe and I try to fix it before I check in with God. There's 50 people online. I know I ain't the only one. You ought to be able to say amen, pat your toes or nod your head or pull on your ear or something. Verse 17 says what?
Ye shall not need to fight in these battles.
You ain't gotta fight in this battle. Read.
Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord.
The salvation of the Lord. Read, that verse ain't finished yet.
O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not.
Fear not.
Nor be dismayed. Tomorrow goes out against them, for the Lord will be with you.
Go out. Listen. You know, I'm preaching one point. Here it is. Leave room for God. Then you will see him work. Leave room for God. And that positions you so you can see with the eyes of your heart, the eyes of faith, you watch God take care of it. This ain't our fight. Many times, beloved, we can't solve problems on our own. We can't heal hurts on our own. We can't change circumstances on our own. And in those personal battles, you know, the battle within, the struggle, the fight within ourselves. When the old man is wrestling with the new man, we don't win all of those battles on our own. Listen to what God says. Fear not. Beloved, you and I can choose not to be afraid. You and I can choose not to be afraid. Well, you might say, preacher, no, nobody chooses to be afraid. Fear just kicks the door in and pounces on our lives. Well, yeah, true that. But when it does, you can choose to reject it. I hear him say, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Fear not. Stand firm. Some versions say, stand still. Don't compromise your integrity. Don't give up. Don't hide. Don't run. Stand. And the versions that say still, he's not talking about not moving your physical body. He's talking about your heart. He's talking about the inner man. Block out all distractions. Put your focus on the promise of God. What promise, preacher? The Lord will fight for you. Or even better, put put your focus on God himself. Keep your eyes on God. Can I drop something for you? Check this, right? Check this. No, check this for real. The peace of God cannot hit a moving target. You got to quiet your inside. You got to slow that thing down, baby. The peace of God cannot hit a moving target. See the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians right here, that was your last look. They're going to be gone. Because God will fight for us. What you saying, preacher? Without God's help, you and I don't have a chance. Israel didn't have a chance. We don't have a chance. We gain nothing, absolutely nothing, by our restless and anxious efforts. Fear not. Stand firm. See the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for us. Leave room for God, and we will see God work. Leave room for God, then we will see God work. Father, we thank you that you are our salvation, that you are our deliverer, you are our help, you are our shield, you are our protector. We thank you for your precious and powerful promises, and we confess, oh God, there are times in our lives when instead of trusting you when we feel trapped, we try to fix and to solve our crises on our own. And we come penitent, we come with godly sorrow for every time we have done that. Every time. And it's not because you might hurt us as a result of it, but because we know that it hurts you when we try to play God. Have mercy on us, oh God. Forgive us. Renew a right spirit within us that will leave room for you, that will cause us to fear not, that will cause us to pray crying time prayer, that will cause us to stand still and allow you to guide us, to lead us, allow you to take control of the situation, knowing and trusting that you alone are the one that parts the waters. You alone are the one that does the impossible. Help, Lord. Help us to trust your good and perfect ways. We're praying that the preached word might connect with some hearer today in a way that will change their lives forever. Causing them to acknowledge you more in every way. Causing them to turn away from taking matters into their own hands. Putting it in your hands. Leaving it there. Leaving room for you to work. Positioning ourselves to see your salvation. There may be someone in the audience who has not yet been saved by the blood of Jesus. May this preached word connect with them in their undone condition and stir within them a willingness to move, to be drawn closer to you, even by obeying the gospel of Christ, even by hearing that your love sent Jesus to die, so that believing in you, that repenting of sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God and being baptized in water might be saved today and be added to the body of Christ and go their way rejoicing. Father, have your own way, that every hearer gets a word that's just for them, bringing you glory in every moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. We're praying with faith and for your glory we ask. And amen.